This year, Dell Technologies wants to help you do amazing things with their best tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Plus, curate your dream setup with great deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at dell.com/deals, you'll have access to leading-edge technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Again, that's dell.com/deals.
This introducing is the Rich Eisen Show.
I try to give you facts.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Does the combine still matter?
Combine still matters. It will always matter. It never won't matter. I take it that the coaches aren't showing up. It's because the broadcast is so damn good.
You know what? Go run another 40 in your suit.
Oh, I plan to.
Earlier on the show, legendary Hollywood producer Brian Grazer, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Still to come, Falcons head coach Raheem Morris. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Albert Breer was on in hour number two from Indianapolis, Indiana. And hour number one, an in-studio conversation with Brian Grazer, the legendary Hollywood television and film producer. And he, along with Ron Howard and the Imagine Entertainment Group, are the producers behind the Dynamite documentary that's on Apple TV, the New England Patriots, the Dynasty New England Patriots series. He spoke about how that got all put together, told great John Candy stories as well from Splash and Tom Cruise. I said he worked with all the Toms, Hanks and Brady, and he goes, and Cruise. Not many people can drop that.
By the way, I want to start bench cut, Hanks, Brady, Cruise.
Oh, you can't do that.
I'm asking.
Well, you can't cut Tom Brady. Nobody cuts Tom Brady.
It depends on what the category is.
Yeah, what is the category?
Acting.
Life.
If it's acting, then you...
Yeah. Just in general, Toms?
Just Toms. Start bench cut. Hanks, Brady, Cruz.
Get out of here.
That's impossible, yo. I mean...
I don't know. Bench Hanks, cut Cruz. How does that sound?
Oh!
Well, I'm not cutting Tom Brady, and I'm not benching Tom Brady.
I'm gonna start.
You don't
Hanks.
Bench Tom Brady. Belichick didn't even bench Tom Brady. That's the subject matter of the first two episodes of this documentary.
I really think Hanks gets cut.
I'm starting Hanks. I'm benching Cruz and I'm cutting Brady.
Well, this guy.
Oh, wow.
Of course he's cutting Brady.
Yeah, I mean,
I like Brady, but I don't like him as much as I like Splash.
I might think I might start Cruz.
Ooh.
Woo-hoo.
And then what do you bench Brady
come off the bench. I mean, he started his career coming off the bench.
Let's start with this. Which Tom has given you most enjoyment in your life?
See, that's one to come, though.
That
you have not seen yet.
Brady, Rich.
You don't know.
I mean, I haven't seen the second part of Mission Impossible 7 yet. You know what I mean?
Which Tom? There's one.
But the movies are fleeting. You enjoy them for an hour or two, or in the case of Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah.
And then it's done.
I mean, I know.
Brady lingers. Brady echoes. There's echoes of Brady.
I mean, I understand. Just think, Tom Cruise is the most important movie star of all time.
Great conversation.
You're cutting Hanks.
I'm cutting Hanks.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry.
All right. I don't think you are. But anyway, good thing we didn't ask that of Brian Grazer in hour number one. If you missed any of it, we re-air as soon as this show is over on the Roku channel, channel 210. Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, is about to join us in this hour. The latest on the Denver Broncos quarterback plans. Sean Payton speaking today. Stephen Jones spoke today about what his dad meant about going all in. I've been told the Cowboys bus is in Indianapolis.
Okay.
It is there. I'm heading to Indianapolis tonight, so I'll confirm if the bus is there. Susie's in this chair Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. She and Amy Trask are recording the latest episode of What the Football podcast. Louis Riddick will be their guest to break down everything that's going on at the Combine and then in free agency after all of that. So 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. The Atlanta Falcons head coach Raheem Morris is about to join us on this show. And the Falcons draft 8th overall. They draft 8th overall. And the question is what do they do when on the clock if they haven't already acquired a quarterback in the free agency period? Joining us now on the Rich Eisen Show is, in fact, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Newark, New Jersey is in the house. Head coach Raheem Morris here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Raheem?
Rich, I couldn't be better. And you are the king of the dramatic pause right there. Listen to that intro.
Is that right?
The king.
You know what? I know about the pauses and drama. You put it all together. You know, I also grew up on the other side of exit 13 of the New Jersey Turnpike. I'm a Staten Islander.
That I know. My time at Hofstra, everybody knew driving through Jersey, coming across and the Gothers Bridge to head up to.
That's right.
I'd have to pass your statue every day.
So. Yeah, my statue outside of my high school. It'll be somebody being benched. Hey, so what can you tell me about your interview process? And when did you know you got the gig in Atlanta?
You know, Rich, it was a great process. I talked about this before. The process has done so much changing throughout the process and how we've gone about it and trying to make it better, to make it more fair, to make it equal and all the stuff like that. So, you know, right away, when you're done, they set the date where you can have your first Zooms. And those Zooms pretty much get lined up back to back to back. I was fortunate enough to have five of them. And obviously, one being the Atlanta Falcons. You know, after you go through the Zoom process, they are able to schedule some in-persons and you can fly in at the scheduled dates and you try to make it. For me, it was, let's take an East Coast trip and finish back on the West Coast and finish the process of your interview. When you talk about the in-persons, I was able to do four of those, I believe, or get invited to four. Mm-hmm. And I made it to three of them before I got back home and was going to be on my way to my last one. I got the call from Mr. Blank and stopped the whole process and was able to end my time and end up in Atlanta and was really well done by all teams, I thought. And I think it was a really fair process of what we went through as far as from a Zoom standpoint and an in-person standpoint with all the teams that I was able to sit down and talk to.
If I could go back in time and tell that defensive backs coach at Hofstra that one day you would beat out Bill Belichick for a head coaching job, what would you have said back then?
You know, I didn't really look at it as beating out Bill Belichick. You know, I know that's been, you know, popular to talk about and popular documented, but I think it was more of you put your best foot forward and present your best self for whatever the opportunity was. And I thought the mesh between myself and Atlanta really worked together. And it was really a time for me to come back to a place that I had spent some time at and had some success at and then wanted to get back and have to get the job finished. And I don't look at it as beating out, you know, one of the greatest coaches. I got too much regard and respect for the people that work in this profession, especially the stuff that Bill Belichick has done.
So well, last one for you on the process as well. Raheem Morris here on the Rich Eisen Show. How did it hit you? I don't know if you're aware of it or people made you aware of it, of so many players from the Rams organization and others that you have touched in your time as being an assistant in the league, that everyone was, for the lack of a better phrase, caping for you, saying you deserved it, that you were the best that they had played for. How did that hit you when so many were saying you deserved this opportunity that you did get?
You know, Rich, I didn't really get it right away because I'm not on social media as not as driven on social media as you are. But I did get it secondhand from a lot of people on what was being said, you know, from the likes of Jalen Ramsey and some of the other people that talk. But it really touches you because you just want to see the people. You see the people that you've affected after you're going through the process of coaching them on all walks of life, whether it be on offense, whether it be on defense, whether it be with just everyday life skills, something you help them with. All of the people that was able to comment and that did that, I thought was outstanding, including some of your colleagues from TV and just being able to deal with you guys from a steady basis, from being a defensive coordinator or being a one-time head coach in this league and knowing the people that you're talking to. So I thought that was really, 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 really special. To hear people talk about you that way.
Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. What are you willing to share about your quarterback plans?
You coach? Know, it's been rehearsed a bunch of times right now, but let's be honest with you. You know, we are definitely in the quarterback hunting business, and we got to go out. We got to find ways to acquire them. You know the ways we can do it with free agency, the trade, or the draft. We're going to have an aggressive plan on whatever that is, whether that be aggressive movement in free agency, or whether that's an aggressive move in our draft, whether we going up, going back, staying put, whatever the case may be. But we want to have that type of mentality to go out there and find our guy to give us long-term success. And the thing I'll tell you also, Rich, is we've done a nice job of, you know, acquiring a bunch of coaches with a lot of quarterback experience. When you're talking about Zach Robinson, T.J. Yates, Ken Zampezi, D.J. Williams, K.J. Black, you're talking about Chandler Whitmire and some of those different guys that have coached different quarterbacks around this league at different points of their career in order to get opinions in the room for the decision makers to allow them to make decisions. So I feel really good about our process that we're going through right now currently. And I feel good about the prospects of whether it be pick A, pick B, pick C, or whatever the case may be, that we can find a guy that's right for us.
So then what will a prospect that you interview in Indianapolis find when they walk into the Atlanta Falcons meeting room for their 15 minutes? Walk me through what you're going to put them through so you can tire kick them appropriately.
You know, I think it's a little further than that, Rich. As you know, like these guys are all coached up now, right? For these 15
minutes. Yeah, that's why I'm asking, like, how are you going to throw them off? You want to get the real in your 15 minutes, you know?
And, you know, you don't want to go super dramatic in these moments and end up on your show for doing something the wrong way.
No, by the way, just to understand this. I'll push back here. Winding up on my show is a good thing, okay? You understand?
No, you know, Rich, on your show,
yes,
it's a good thing, you know, particularly with some of the things that I know you represent.
Thank you.
And some of the stuff that you've helped with the Run Rich Run and all that type of stuff.
Oh, but you're kind.
But.
Yes.
You know, those 15 minutes are really to get a guy's personality out. You know, what you got to really trust and rely on, and you got to build this trust over time, is what the gathering information has come even before this moment, right? And you want to just see people be honest. You want to see people be able to communicate, be open, be deliberate about their intentional goals and things of that nature. But, you know, realistically, some of the work and some of the background things, whether to see whether the guy fits with you or not, is already done and behind the scenes. And the people that we never know would be talking about us in these settings. So, you know, a lot of those things would be done. Some of those envelopes won't have to be pushed in that 15-minute interview.
Right.
Some of those things would be done in different settings. And you get the real lot of people when they're going through some of the adverse times with the people that they went through in their past.
So then writ large, then what are you looking for? What do you want to see? What are you hoping to elicit then?
You know, you want people to come in and be honest. And you want to hear honest assessments of themselves. You like to hear honest evaluation of points about themselves to give you some little self-awareness about who they are and what they are. And when they come in, they can do those things. Those are the things that mostly impress you because you have your opinions. And if people are able to sit there in front of you and really tell you how they've gotten better over the years, some of the things they feel they can get better at, some of the ways they and the tools they've used in order to get better. Mm-hmm. I think those are the things that make people what you're looking for really attractive. You know, we're in a people's business. It'd be no different. That will never change. So you're looking for good people.
And what will the Falcons, in your estimation, look like? What can you tell fans who are wondering what the Raheem Morris Falcons will look like? And how it might be different from the previous iteration of the Falcons?
You know, you really don't have to even get into what the previous iterations of the Falcons are. You more want to talk about what it's going to look like for us.
Yes.
And how we're going to follow our fundamental plan of our pillars and how we want to set those things up and how we want to move into the direction of winning football games. And really what we want to establish is a sustainable winner. And we want to establish that in a way where we could be competitive at the highest ranks at the end of the season, you know, into January, into February, and moving into those games that we all want to play in. And I just believe those are the things that your fans want. Those are the things that you want from an ownership group. Those are the things that you want from everybody in our building. And I think surrounding ourselves with the right people, we can put ourselves in play to do those things right now, right away. And I don't think that has to be a secret or something that we hide from.
Before I let you go, Coach, what's the most freakish thing you've ever seen Aaron Donald do?
Oh, man. You know, Aaron is a special human, but probably some of the more freak things that you see them do have occurred in the weight room. To watch him lift weights and to watch him be able to go through what he puts himself through when he works himself out in order to prepare for what we see on Sundays is very special. I don't know anybody that works or studies as hard as him. I don't know anybody that's as smart and has the detail element of his game that he has. And I probably shouldn't be talking on him, but just based on the fact that I just coached him, I think I'll get a pass.
No, I know that. And that's why I'm asking, like, did you ever have to re-rack something on film to actually believe what you thought you just saw or something like that with him?
That happens daily.
Right.
You know, it's almost a point where it becomes, you just ignore it and you almost, you almost write it off when he's doing those things live and in person. And it's in practice, it's in the games, it's in the meeting rooms. It's every day how he moves, how he walks in life. He is a very special human.
All right. And then last one for you, your favorite Sean McVay story. What do you have?
There's plenty of those as well, but there's no better story than after the Super Bowl. The game was over. Everything is happening. The confetti is falling. And somehow Sean and I ended up in his office, and just probably one of the more special moments of my career. Just us two, how it started. And it turned into Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, Reggie, our ownership group, people from the building. And the picture that we still have in our phones from how that thing started and how it built up to and what it built into is a very special moment for myself and I know for him.
So you mean you were just sitting in the office, in his office, you know, after the confetti had dropped, and then
everybody's going nuts. The confetti's falling down. Right. There's a full blown party in our locker room going on, and everybody's out having a blast. And at the end of the day, it was two people sitting with each other that turned into our own little party in Sean's office, so to speak.
That's awesome. May you have one of those of your own, sir, in your own head coaching office in short order. Good luck.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you joining me here, and I'll see you in Indianapolis, if not after. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
See you soon.
You bet. That's the HC of the ATL, Raheem Morris, fresh off of a podium himself there in Indianapolis, straight from exit 13A on the New Jersey Turnpike. That's it. I was 13. He's 13A. Straight up. What do you think, Chris? You excited, right?
Sure. As long as Bijan Robinson gets that 2,000 yards, let's go.
Well, that's a fantasy thing, isn't it?
And personally, I'd like to see him do it. He's a good kid.
He is a good kid.
And it would make my fall a lot more enjoyable.
Okay. If I could get Bijan on the show to tell him that, would you want that?
No.
Do you know why? Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it.
Well,
yeah.
Years ago,
yeah,
you had my old college coach,
yep,
Dino Babers, on after we had just had a successful Syracuse campaign,
yes,
for my birthday. It was a very great surprise and a celebration of the 7-2-3, and then we absolutely stunk like the 3 years after in a row.
So you're admitting you're the cooler?
No, you set that up. So I don't know why it has to do with me.
You initiated.
I just asked you.
You were
if
trying to be nice, and I appreciated
that. Bijan, I saw Bijan at the Super Bowl.
You did.
Couldn't have been nicer. Was with his family. We exchanged numbers. I can do this myself. I don't need the booking staff. I could do it myself, and I'm offering it to you. And you have returned it down, and I asked why, and it's because you said you're the cooler.
That's not what I said, though. I've never said those words.
TJ, you want to chime in here?
TJ can witness that I'm not the cooler. I had a 40-minute roll at the crap stable in Vegas.
I hate that I was standing there watching that, Rich.
Did you get in on the action?
Nah, I just sat back and
why
watched.
Why not?
Because I was.
I can't. You can.
I was miserable. I was watching the Clipper game. And I was watching the Clipper game at the same time. So I was there. I was just there for moral support.
Okay.
But
he did a great
job.
You
know, here's the deal. As long as you don't have anyone call on his birthday, then technically he couldn't be looked at as the cooler.
Understood.
So
let me ask you a question in terms of what makes you angriest. Or what would make you the angriest?
Oh, we don't have enough time
having
before
Daniel
commercial
Jones
for this.
On the show?
No. What would make you the angriest? Anything that the Red Sox are currently doing.
I don't want to talk about them at all, actually.
By the way, do you notice I didn't do anything specific about what the Red Sox... Anything the Red Sox are currently doing.
You're trying to upset them.
Okay. Or
don't want to talk.
If somebody in the middle of that role stepped up and started putting money on the don't pass line.
Oh my God, I would have fought them.
So that makes you even angrier than what the Red Sox are currently doing.
That makes me angry. Well, yes. Okay. Come on, man, I'm hot. You bet against me? Get out of here.
Don't pass line, man.
And more importantly,
what's the matter with people walking up to hot tables and putting money on don't pass?
Find another table.
They were saying the name of Jim Rice the entire time.
We were cheering for Jim Rice.
Because you had your Red Sox hat on.
Yeah,
right?
It was great. And then we started the whistling.
I did that one time.
80s Red Sox
that
players.
One time. Dude, one time. I told you this story, right? Years ago, off season, which is when I'm able to do it. I was on such a hot roll. I made money for the table, including the son of Bum himself.
Oh yeah, right.
Wade Phillips. I made money on he had a hard 10. I made 55 showed up.
Love the hard numbers.
And I wound up like chest bumping him. It was great. And then somebody else started rolling. He had a Met jersey on. I was calling him Seaver, Matt Harvey, the whole thing.
Everybody.
That's the way it works.
That's the way it goes, man.
That's the way it works.
Nothing better than a hot craps table. Oh, let's go back.
Oh, unless you're a Yankee fan and seeing you in the misery right now. As Juan Soto keeps going oppo.
Woo.
Spring training.
We have nobody who can hit home runs.
Juan Soto.
Dude,
he's batting in front of Judge. And then, of course, the Dodgers fans are like, yeah, you're holding our beer.
Ohtani makes his debut today.
Oof. Unreal.
Like, I forgot Yamamoto tomorrow until about 3 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, yeah, that really did happen.
Yeah.
That did happen.
And you got Doogie now. Ugh, what a stuff.
Doogie. Is that what I'm to call him?
Yeah.
Doogie. Yeah.
You going to give me the manual? The dirtbag manual on him?
He's clean shaven.
He's clean shaven now.
Not a dirtbag.
Okay.
Just hope he doesn't go the way of Ellsbury.
Nice. Write that down. That's the way of Ellsbury is not a bad fantasy name for your terrible baseball team.
It's like the
all right,
fist wave.
We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're going to hear from Stephen Jones and Sean Payton. Still to come.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You're one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
These are my 3 favorite coaching cliches. I'd love to see a press conference where you nail all 3 of them within 1 press conference.
Can we double down? And what if I can pull it off in my next press conference in Indianapolis?
This is exactly what we're talking about. Yes, sir.
So, all right.
Ready for them? Here you go. This is number 1. I don't have a crystal ball, guys. Okay? Like, that's what you said. I don't have a crystal ball. It's easy. It's whenever somebody asks you to predict the future. Like, for instance, how aggressive are you going to be in free agency? Then you say what?
Well, you see? I mean, I don't have a crystal ball.
Right.
But, as aggressive as what's best for the organization.
Very good. That's a good one. Very good. Okay. Here's another one. It's as simple. You're going to nail this. It is what it is. It is what it is, guys. It is what it is, ladies. It is what it is, folks. You know, like, whatever you want to just throw it out there, it is what it is. That's another one.
Okay.
And then the third one is, I'm only talking about the guys that are here. That's it. I'm only talking about the guys here.
Well, so. I'm gonna triple down and say, what if I can do that all in the same statement in my indie press conference?
Yes, Mike McDaniel,
instant legend.
Yes.
My only request is when I do it.
Yes.
Mid press conference.
Yes.
I wanna sprint up to the stage, high five.
Let's not forget, like, it is what it is. You know, I honestly. Me personally, I don't have a crystal ball, you know, but really the only guys I can talk about are the players that are here today.
Yes, excuse me.
Pardon me.
Oh, hey, didn't see ya. Boom!
Attaboy.
Triple play. That actually happened. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
With all due respect.
That's a great one.
That's one of my favorites. That's easily one of the best.
We should do a segment called With All Due Respect.
Okay.
Oh, once a week, we get to disrespect somebody.
Oh, yes. My goodness. You sure you want that? I don't know if you want that.
Let's not our brand.
I'm just saying. Let's just say yes. Let's just go.
Or we say something that's really opinionated, and we're free and clear of ramifications because we said with all due respect.
So we're taking higher learning up a notch, or higher learning,
higher register,
higher learning,
good movie,
higher register up a little bit. You know?
Boom.
Well, higher registers, you got to say something that you don't really believe.
But that's true. So this one.
This one we believe in, but it's controversial or somewhat disrespectful.
Or, yeah, potentially. Yeah. But it's called With All Due Respect.
I'm into it.
Oh, Rich.
Yeah, I like that, Rich.
You like it, Mike.
I love it.
What would you say, yours wouldn't be a sports take. Yours would just be a life take.
Yes.
What? What would be a good one? Let's workshop it. I mean, so I'm about to jump on a plane. You know, I've got a million of those.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean...
With all due respect,
standing
you don't
up
need,
like
you, yeah, when you stand up, stand you don't up. Have to use your armrests exactly. to get up. Don't use the go. Back of my seat. With all due respect, you suck.
Don't bring smelly food on the plane. With all due respect.
Oh,
exactly.
There really? Yep, like, but what's a smelly food?
Most of it.
A lot.
So don't bring any hot food on the plane.
Pretty much.
What if it's fries? What if it's pizza? What if it's burgers?
That's different.
Those have good odors. What do you mean? Those
are good odors.
There's bad odors and bad odors.
Like fish. People that microwave fish.
Who brings fish on a plane?
No, but Eddie I'm Mouse. Just saying, in general.
By the way, that was the worst Sam Jackson movie ever.
Fish on a plane.
Fish on a plane. Terrible movie.
Fish in a microwave. Somebody did that at Fox the other day. I seriously went to search to see who was eating the fish. Because I was going to be like,
eggs,
you can't do that.
Fish, any like... He's got heated noodles.
You went on a mole hunt for fish at Fox?
I literally went on a mole hunt because I'm like, I wanted to tell this person, seriously?
Yeah, but you're in a booth. Shut the door. What do you?
No. It's all over the whole, it was all over the entire kitchen
area. Who was it? Was it Chris Myers? Was it Chris Myers with the fish?
I never found him.
It's my fish.
The fish is here. I'm there.
That's your nose. It's my fish. Too bad.
I tried to search for the fish person.
Wow.
There you go. There's our franchise audio executive.
By the way, pitch that movie to Brian Grazer.
I got blamed for the power outage, and people were like, did you really do it?
Who got blamed?
Who blamed?
On Twitter.
Who? Why?
Somebody said that I was the responsible for the power outage.
You know who that was?
Who was that?
Look to your right.
Oh.
You posted Shea Serrano's interview
on YouTube. Like, did you really like kick
it? Was
something?
A YouTube link.
The crying face obviously meant I was joking.
You're like, blame Mike Del Tufo.
Yeah.
It literally was the tweet.
I stayed here to make sure, with Jim, John, myself.
But I did the crying face. Obviously, I'm kidding.
Is that what that means?
Yeah. You're like, this is funny.
No, I knew that, but people are like, did you really do something?
What if people aren't fluent in emoji, Chris?
Well, then what are we doing?
They shouldn't be online.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Good call.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not very fluent in emoji. Remember there was that one week on NBA Twitter where everyone was just using emojis, and I had to come to you guys and like, can you explain this to me? And then the one with Saquon Barkley with the blue hats.
Yeah. You were like, and the I'm blue like, hat? What? And you read it like that. I was like, wait, what?
You're like, what?
I read it out. Off the screen, right?
And you're like, blue hat.
He's like, blue hat.
Like, no, man.
It wasn't my finest moment.
If you don't know, you don't know.
That's true.
Jeff in Detroit's on the phone. Hey, Jeff in Detroit, everybody. Jeff. How are you, Jeff?
Wonderful, wonderful, Uncle Rich. I've been recruited, so you guys haven't heard from me.
All-Star Chauffeur Services recruited me from Uber, so.
Okay.
Now I'm a man in black driving a black sedan. When you come to town, if you need me, you know where to find me.
We're coming We might be coming in April, Jeff. At least I am.
Hey, listen, All-Star Chauffeur Services, baby. Tell them Jeff Law, baby. I got you guys all day.
Oh,
all
really?
Day.
Are you
that
serious, though? Are you
this
serious?
This would be amazing.
This seems mandatory.
Can I drive in the front seat with you?
No. This is what would happen.
Yeah, listen, Mike, you can... Listen, no. Mike is the man. You can drive and control the radio.
No, Jeff.
Don't let him drive.
Do not feed the animals,
don't
Jeff.
Let him drive.
You can let him control the
Actually,
radio.
No, that's
Jeff.
What you do, Jeff, is let him drive and then you sit with us. You know?
Oh, I used to drive a limo.
If we go to Detroit, there's only one person I want driving. I mean, that's... Yeah, the story.
Well, yeah. The last person.
Like I said, All-Star Chauffeur, baby. I got you.
I don't know. I mean, well, though, we don't want Mike driving because sometimes Mike will either wrap a police car around a pole or drop you off at Liza Minnelli's house at 3 a.m. So.
That starting cut that Chris Brockman had, man, had my head exploding. Me being a Michigan man, I tried to take the Michigan out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Bachelor Party did so much for me as a kid.
Oh, come on. Yes. So you have a Star Bench cup?
Jeff, that was my movie right there. I think I burnt the video cassette out of that.
Jeff,
honestly.
That was why I had to start Tom Hanks. I remember watching that for the first time at like 12, feeling things, feeling stuff.
Bosom Buddies.
Became a man.
What are you? Do you have a Star Bench cut, Jeff?
First time I saw some stuff in that
movie. Yeah, you know, I probably.
What do you have?
Start Brady. Bench Tom Hanks, cut Tom Cruise. As much as I love Tom Cruise,
like
but I think that's how it would have to be.
He and I like this.
What joy did Tom Brady bring you as a Lions fan, Jeff?
Oh,
he's a Michigan guy.
Well, it's just
he's
him a being a Michigan
guy.
Man.
He's
he comes
a
back
guy.
To Michigan. He does so much for the community. Okay. The guy bought houses that nobody knows about for the downtrodden and people that needed help here in Michigan.
He didn't
want his name on anything. He didn't want any type of publicity. That's the type of person that he is. So, you know, as far as bringing me joy, probably I would probably have to reverse it. And see, this is what I'm talking about, Chris.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
I would probably have to reverse it and then start Tom Hanks, bench Tom Brady, cut the other Tom.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Jeff Law, everybody.
Be well, brother.
Good to chat with Jeff in Detroit. Speaking of Detroit, the Combine – press conferences aren't just, hey, you're such and such on the clock. You need a quarterback. You have an issue with a roster spot. You have a franchise tag to decide on. We need to get answers from you, and you're going to dodge questions. That's usually what the press conferences are at the Combine. Some of them, however, are, we haven't spoken to you since your team went out in the playoffs, and part of the reason why the team went out was some of the decisions you made. At least that's the conversation in the media. And so Dan Campbell stepped to the mic today and was asked about the decisions he made in the NFC Championship game against San Francisco and if he would redo any of them. The answer was of interest.
The only thing that, if I could go back, that I felt greedy on was at the very end of the game. And instead of just deciding what we're going to do on fourth down to hold the timeout, you can run it. And you do it on third down, and I should have waited till fourth, you know. And at least you score, you hold on to that last timeout. But, I did. I got a little bit – I thought we were going to just pop the run and but hindsight, if the smarter thing is that, you throw it, and at least you know the clock stops or you score, and you hold the timeout for one more chance, for another opportunity.
I hear him on that. That was the one that leapt out at me. But the
running play was tough.
The running play to run the clock, and then you've got us when you need, you're going onside now.
Yeah.
Instead of throwing it in the end zone, the fourth down is where you run it. That would be the surprise.
But like you said, but they thought they were going to score.
The number of times where this is who we are, this is our id, this is where we're going to hit you in the mouth. Sometimes not always needs to be Spinal Tap 11. Just dialing it down a little bit
especially when he had kicked it earlier in the game.
I thought the going for it instead of kicking that field goal at the end, that one surprised me. That one was the I don't get that one. You know. So, but he's being honest. That's who he is, man. And that's why they got to the NFC Championship game.
Can they get back?
I think so. You don't?
I don't know.
Why? The only way is if you think that Goff can't do it again.
Green Bay is going to be better.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is they're still one of the best teams in the NFL. Only going to get better, too. They're going to get younger and stouter. That's for sure. Jahmyr Gibbs will be your number one overall fantasy draft choice next year. Yes? Or McCaffrey?
No, he's top 10.
Top 10? Yeah. He's going to be top 5.
Well, he's a first rounder. Yeah. Yeah, I was just looking at some early pre... Well,
that's what I'm saying, is Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be even better.
So pre-free agency rankings right now, okay, according to PFF, Jahmyr Gibbs is 10. RB4.
Who are the RB3s in front of him?
Richie, I remember David Montgomery's still there. And he's a bad man, too.
I understand that, but...
Okay, Rich, Christian
McCaffrey. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be dominant next year.
Christian McCaffrey, RB1.
That I understand.
Bijan Robinson, RB2.
Get out of here.
Breece Hall, RB3.
Oh, God, please.
I mean, I don't know what the argument is.
There's the argument. Come on.
What do you mean, come on?
And I love Breece Hall.
I think this is fair.
I don't.
I do, too.
I'd go Gibbs, too. I'd put Jahmyr Gibbs, too.
Wow. So do you think David Montgomery, as much as they used him last year, that they're just going
to... Do you trust the Jets' offense over the Lions' offense more? You trust the Jets' offense to be run properly? You trust the offensive line to be fixed properly? I mean, you think Aaron Rodgers is going to stay healthy enough to make that work?
It doesn't matter what I think about that. I think that...
And you think Bijan...
I think Jahmyr Gibbs is in a committee situation.
Yeah. With a really good bat.
I will just say, and I understand that.
And I had Jahmyr Gibbs in.
Jahmyr Gibbs is going. I'm okay.
I don't mean to get him again, but
I had McCaffrey last year, and that was one of the greatest fantasy seasons ever until the fantasy finals, and then he couldn't finish against the Washington Commanders. See you later for me. But the only reason why I bring up fantasy is I just think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be even better and dominant in the sun god. And I think they're going to, and Jameson Williams is going to be better. And I think they're going to get more weapons. And I think they're just going to be more confident. And I think they're going to get better on defense. I think the Lions can absolutely make it back to the NFC Championship.
Wide receiver 3.
Okay.
They got a great tight end.
So
they sure do.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. What does
tight end 2?
Jerry Jones mean by all in?
I wish I knew, Rich.
Well, we asked his son.
Oh.
Or his son was asked. And then the Denver Broncos and their quarterback situation. This would be the top story if it wasn't for Caleb Williams, essentially.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone, as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
So the Vikings general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, was asked point blank, are you trading Justin Jefferson? Any interest in trading Justin Jefferson? How dare you think of trading Justin Jefferson?
And?
By the way, that last part was what Viking fans would probably say out loud. Mm-hmm. Here's what the GM had to say.
Is there a world where you would ever consider making him available for a trade?
That is not something that's once crossed my mind. You got a blue player, blue person. You try and keep those, as many of those as you can.
There you go.
All right, that's that.
There's not even a single moment as they're talking about dollars and cents. He's just like, you know, this is just not worth it.
We should just not bring back.
It's just not worth it. It's not worth the squeeze, you know? Still looking for the bag, though. That's what we told him at the Super Bowl. Where is the bag?
We gave him a bag.
We did.
Just not...
Yeah, there's some valuable items in it.
Absolutely.
There's a sweatshirt.
Priceless.
I think we gave him the old Roku stick.
Love it.
You know what I mean?
Or the box. Pardon me.
All of that.
What else we give him? Oh, like a Stanley. Like we give him one of those things.
Yep.
Give him something for hot or cold drinks and a straw. Because that's what I was told the kids like.
Love the straw.
Yeah. Are you using it?
Housewives.
What?
It's popular amongst the housewives.
Housewives, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a...
So clearly Sarah's not using it then.
That's a brand.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah.
So who's using it in the house? Cage?
I didn't say my house. I'm just saying...
He's saying general houses.
Housewives.
In general.
What does it mean that I'm using it?
Oh.
Don't answer that.
Okay.
All we know is Justin Jefferson will not be traded, and that's our coverage of that story.
I can feel it.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Boom. Boom.
Back here on our radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I'll give you dealer's choice, TJ Jefferson. Ooh. We've got two stories left to cover.
Okay.
Ooh. Sean Payton on the Denver Broncos quarterback situation.
Oh, that's interesting.
Stephen Jones being asked, what did your dad mean by going all in?
Get your damn act together.
Well, you know, I'd have to say, let's go with the dad story.
There we go.
Oh, hey. Touch the heartstrings a little
Here
bit.
We go. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. Jerry Jones had this to say in the Senior Bowl in Alabama. He's like, we're going all in.
Yeah, baby.
We're going all in on players that you wouldn't normally think we'd go all in on. Yeah. Like, what the hell does that mean?
Like a run stopper?
Like what? Like a baseball player?
Yeah.
What do you mean? The Cowboys go on football players. You know what I mean? They go all in on it. They go half in? Where they just dip a toe in the pool? Of course not. But he says, we're going all in. We're going to be all in all the way to the end of the season. What the hell does that mean? Does that mean Derrick Henry? Does that mean you're going in free agency in places that you normally don't go? Because I say that's where it should be. Stephen Jones was asked this question today. I have not heard the answer. I'm keen to hear it myself. Hit play, please.
I've never known Jerry not to be all in any given year. But, certainly, we've got a great team put together. The last 3 years, won a lot of football games, I think 36. And where we have to improve is the postseason. You know, we're going to get the right kind of guys who step up and make big plays in the postseason. And it's been a challenge in terms of our success there, and that's where we have to improve.
Are there any answers that you guys have kind of come up with as to what's going on?
We're taking a holistic view of this thing, and we'll continue to look at it. Obviously, being here at the Combine is going to be, a great time to spend some time in terms of looking not only at the young players that are going to be out there, but just spending time, together internally, spending a lot of time talking about, what we have to get accomplished, we think, in order to take the next step.
Holistic view, or did they go on a darkness retreat to make these decisions? Is that what he means by that, or does he mean by like the hole? They're taking those. What are they doing?
They dug a hole, in it.
He and the Joneses, they went into their own little Frisco darkness retreat.
Looking for wins.
Frisco-waska in their tea. Is that what it is?
Here, coach.
Frisco-waska. What does that
mean? I want you to give an answer at some point, just when I don't want to give an answer. We're taking a half-listic view of this thing. Half-listic.
You think they have like a yurt?
Yes.
A yurt.
Yeah.
Whoa, yurt. We've got a yurt
on the
I like it.
Yeah. It's the first yurt reference.
It's just things that my people tell me.
Brought to you by Dodge.
Mike McCarthy, 3 straight years of 12-5.
Oh, dude.
That's nice.
Two words. They are Derrick Henry ripped the knob off. They're not paying Pollard $12 million for what they got last year.
Nope.
And Uncle Rico Dowdle
ate
the bell cow. I don't believe.
Throw it over those
I
mountains.
Shouldn't ever say this guy can't in the NFL.
Nice,
you should never say that about an NFL player. You can't.
You never know.
Correct.
Never know.
But I saw episode 1 of this Dynasty series.
I heard about
about the Patriots. Yeah, you never know. That's basically the general gist. Hey, Derrick Henry, go get him. Star inside of the helmet. Run him. And run him down everybody's throats. And play action off of that and get CeeDee Lamb going there and get Gallup going there. You know?
Speaking of run.
Get Cooks going there.
The bigger problem is getting someone to stop the run.
That's another one. They could be available in the draft. Priority. I know. So do that too. Draft. Go all in. That's what it means. That's the holistic approach.
No. We need a big body in there.
There you go.
What's in Dominic? Did you learn it? Doing?
By the way, not a bad idea. Even though he didn't play last year. Does that answer satisfy you?
I guess.
I give you 10.5 Cowboy wins next year.
Over.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, come on. We're going to win games.
Come on, man. What are they going to go? They're going to go 10-7? They're still a very good football team in the regular season.
Washington will better. Okay, you good. Think the Giants will be better?
What do you think? They're 9-8? Get
like,
out of here.
It's like every year when I predict the Cowboys' schedule or their win-loss record, YouTube, like, just destroys me, like how dumb I am.
I think 11-6 is a very reasonable, very reasonable floor for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. I'm going all in on it. I'm taking a holistic approach. All right. Sean Payton, Denver Broncos head coach, told us at the Super Bowl they haven't even had quarterback meetings yet. They haven't even looked. He said he didn't even know the numbers of some of these kids that are available in the draft.
That struck me as odd.
I don't know. He's just finishing up evaluations. They haven't even had their evaluations. So you can't ascribe to them the trading up, trading down, or anything like that. Russell Wilson goes on the I Am Athlete podcast and basically says they tried to get me to remove my injury guarantee and threatened to bench me over it. And didn't tell him until 2 days before the Monday night game in Buffalo that he was going to start. That they didn't get their ducks in a row about carrying through on apparently a threat to bench him, which they eventually did, as we know. So it sounds ugly. He did, however, say, Russ, that he wasn't selling his house. His house is not for sale in Denver. So what that means is he'd rather his contract agent have more leverage than his real estate agent right now. Although it might help both. Might help both. Hey.
I mean, his house is literally listed on Zillow and Redfin.
Yeah. So whatever, you know, person who's trying to give Russ less than the zestimate for his house. You like that? Hey, I might not move. I might be a Bronco. So I'm gonna give leverage to my contract agent and my real estate agent. All right?
That's Pat.
He still has zeal to play for the Broncos. But what about the Broncos for him? The current plan at the quarterback spot, Sean Payton asked about that.
I expect that we're gonna know fairly quickly. I said it's the Super Bowl, but I think more specifically, I think you know, somewhere in the neighborhood next week, we're going to – there's a couple factors here. You know, obviously the cap projections came out. We're further down the road with the draft class, obviously the pro free agents. So I would anticipate it being, you know, within the next 2 weeks. I saw this, like, humorous meme the other day where there was a Bronco fan with a shirt on and there was, like, 8 quarterbacks' names with – across through it, you know, and he's drinking the quarterback Kool-Aid, and our job is to make sure that this next one, you know, doesn't have a line through it.
This next one doesn't have a line through it. Can you look up that meme? Was Russell Wilson's name already crossed out?
Yeah, good question. Because it's the famous Browns one.
Well, that was one with that wasn't crossed out. It was just like names that just were draped down, and there was until it, like, it was such a long thing. It looked like a tail.
There was like such a long list names on that thing.
Yeah, I don't think Russ is going to be the answer here. I don't think this is happening. I mean, for him to say, we got to make sure the next one, does that mean they're going to draft one at 12? If I'm them, I'm trading up. I trade up. Go find a kid you like and go get him. And that's it. And then Russ will get cut, and he's going to be $39 million on your cap this year, and you're going to pay him to go play somewhere else, and you'll let the dice roll there. And I think the ownership group of the Denver Broncos kind of know, you know, you hired Sean Payton for a reason. It's to make the tough decisions, and it's to put it out there that I don't think he's going to be there.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
Well, I mean, and the crazy thing is about Russ is the last two combines have been about how the hell is he going to come back this year? Well, how about this one? 2 years ago, it was, where's he going to go? Because he's probably not going to be with Seattle anymore. Then he goes to Denver. And then last year, it's like, how terrible was that? And how's he going to come back from it? And the crazy thing is the first 10 combines of his career, it was all about how are we going to find another one like him in the third round, 75th overall, a crown jewel of a franchise, found in the middle of the third round. Everybody was trying to find themselves the next Russell Wilson for the first 10 years of his career at the combine. That was a story. And then the next one was like, who's going to get Russ and win championships and how will he continue an ascent? His playing career is basically like the 2023 Eagles, you know, winning for the first two thirds. And then the last third, it's been like, what the hell was that all about? And who's the real one? The first two thirds of what we've seen over the last couple of years, which is why he says he wants to win two more. I just don't think that's going to be with the Denver Broncos. Certainly when the coach is like, we got to make sure the next one doesn't have his name crossed off. Because the current one, it sounds like he's got his name crossed off. Susie will be in this chair tomorrow. Jeffrey Ross will be in studio in the guest chair.
Yeah.
I'll be chiming in from Indy. We'll be wrapping up this show on the Roku channel in a moment.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events, and people would say to me, oh, man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro. And she'd be like, what song? At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists, and they all respect each other, and I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.